yesterday from afar until Sunday when we're out there. My favorite Dallas Cowboys practice so far this training camp. Good morning, Metroplex. We're taking you inside the Star on the Home of America's team, brought to you by on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. It's DFW Sports Station with Sean RJ and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. They were getting after each other. I love the S-talking. To me, this was the perfect balance, taking it up to the line that Brian Schottenheimer had described in the offseason of competition and scrapping back and forth. It started with Dak Prescott riding that broomstick, which I think will be the new warm-up, whatever we call this, back and forth, the hip turn.
Which, by the way, when I have tried to describe to you guys how college raucous it is during the OTA practice, that's the workout thing they do at the beginning. So, like, he doesn't always have a broom that he's jumping, but they're jumping and do it like they're going nuts and like going through those bags. That's the thing we were
it's like, yo, Gabba Gabba.
Sure. Yeah, I won a championship.
I don't go know. Crazy. It's a children's show.
I know the show. I don't know anything about
what they do. Go crazy. Go crazy.
They were going crazy at each other. Dak threw a touchdown to Lamb. He and, is it Kamon Hall?
Keeman
Hall. They get into it, Hall shoving Lamb. I love that. After a couple of incompletions, Dak threw a touchdown to Pickens. He let the sideline know, put up his hands, and they were like, get the hell out of here. Run back to the huddle. Milton fired one into a small window to Turpin while on the move. He leaned up against the sideline fence. I do this. Quote, look at God. Ezeraku would have had a sack on a speed rush. He held off. Malik Hooker made the one-handed interception. DeMarvion Overshown and the entire football team escorted Malik Hooker down the sideline, going absolutely crazy. So that was just some of the back and forth with the spirited practice and the trash talking that went along with it.
Yeah, this is the environment they're trying to create. And again, it's, we don't want anybody to think that we're saying, nah, this is clearly like this is 2-3 games difference now off of our original projections. Like, this is a Super Bowl contender because they're getting chippier. But these are the things you look for when, to me at least, I think division, whether subtle or loud, has been a problem for this team for years. And it helps to see, all right, there's some nice chippy competitiveness and everybody seems to be trying to elevate the other person next to
him. I heard some people who have been around for a long time say, now look, we're always going to see like a team celebration, a gang celebration after a turnover and everyone hooping and hollering because things get intense with the back and forth reps. But I heard some people say who have been around this for about 20, 30 years say that type of atmosphere that they experienced yesterday, they did not remember feeling or seeing during the McCarthy camps. We'll see what it actually leads to. But one of the main guys getting the high. Actually, let's hear from Dak Prescott on the fighting at camp and going back and forth.
I think it's a good thing. I don't think there's necessarily they. I mean, maybe one of them we had some punches going, but other than that, I mean, it's football. It's high emotions. You got guys out here practicing and competing for their life, competing for jobs. You've got to have that edge. I think that's a difference. That's the difference right there is how passionate these guys are. I mean, they're being taught and being told to compete every day, and some guys compete different ways, right? And I think when you put that together at times, you're going to have those disagreements, you're going to have those frustrations, but they've been doing a good job of, for the most part, viping each other up, looking in the face and realizing, okay, this is my teammate. I'm not going to take it there. And just as important as that, understanding that you can't take it there on game day either. So learning from it, controlling the emotions at the same time of being competitive. I mean, Coach says it all the time, we can be competitive without being combative. So I think it's a fine line, and I think we're flirting with it, and I think that's healthy.
Sounds like Dak needs some Zyrtec. Battling some allergies.
You get
there.
Out there. It's your first couple days in there. If you're not on the Zyrtec,
move on.
You know the new all the new pollen, new trees, new fauna.
Ugh,
all the new flora and fauna out there.
I'm way better in California with my allergies than here. I go out there, it's like I don't need allergy medicine at all. Yeah. When I'm in California,
why should you move there?
I mean, you know, they're trading us enough of theirs. So, I find it interesting that the line about competitive but not combative, because you remember we played those clips from that Collision Low Crossers book where we talked about that was an issue for the Jets, was that they were competitive, but it became combative, and it almost became offense and defense hated each other. And it became something where it was like that side of the building and we got our side of the building. And that created some natural tension. So if they're able to walk that fine line a little bit better, and now it's competitive, but they're still like, it's rooted in support and love for each other's teammates and different things like that, then that sounds like that would be one of the changes or one of the things Schottenheimer has learned in the 15, 20 years.
All this is very fickle and subjective on how you look at it. If you like the coach, this is competitive. If you don't, this is a lack of control. If you like the coach, the fun is a loose, fun camp. If you don't like the coach, this is a, see, they don't take anything seriously. And that's how fickle these training camps are, because there's nothing else to go on.
Sometimes, I don't know that I agree totally, because, I mean, I loved the Diggs-Dak interaction from 2 years ago when they go to the sideline and they're chirping at each other, that clip that went viral. I wanted more of that during McCarthy camps. And I was not a McCarthy fan, but when that happened, I was like, no, this isn't McCarthy losing control of his practice at all. They need more of this.
The player that seemed to be getting the most praise yesterday, and he was working with Charles Haley in the pass rushing drills, Donovan Ezeraku. Nick Harris tweeted, getting reps with the ones and is dominating once again today.
He is the cleanest technician. He is the most pro-ready pass rusher that came out in the draft. Like, there are other guys who have higher ceilings, who are better athletes, who do other things better. You've got a bunch of guys that went ahead of him that you would look at and say, well, if he's the best, why'd he go there? We're just talking about that one skill set of get to the passer and sack him, and the traits you need for that. Donovan Ezeraku was the best that was available in this draft, and he's somebody that I've said it for the last couple months. I think he's baseline minimum 6 sacks as a rookie, just because he's somebody who, when brought into situational pass rushing and being able to just pin his ears back and go, he's going to be really tough for guys to block up at the NFL level because of how elusive he is, how slippery he is, and some of the stuff that's in his toolbox.
Defense had 3 interceptions on the day. They continue to take the ball away. And Terrence Steele not practicing with a right ankle. I thought Jerry sprained his feelings. That's the reason out there.
And they were saying it's nothing super serious is what it sounded like yesterday. But it just always gives you a little bit of pause because Terrence Steele has been banged up the last couple of years. He's had issues with injuries. But there's nobody who needed the coaching staff change more than Terrence Steele on the entire team. And he's somebody who needs to spend time with this new staff and get him right and, you know, build back up his confidence and let him know, like, hey, this is a coaching staff that thinks you're good and wants you here, which is not always the case, or not always what he felt, I don't think, with the last coaching staff. So any amount of time missed with him and this new coaching staff leading up to things, I think is detrimental. So hopefully he gets back out there quickly. It's nice that it doesn't sound like it's anything major, because if that lingers too much, that's not going to be good for their line cohesion.
Calvin Watkins with more of a practice recap. The Cowboys will have a rotation at D tackle, but Solomon Thomas has been the standout so far. Recorded 2 strong QB pressures against Tyler Smith. Joe Milton continues to get more reps than Will Greer.
Right.
Milton had a better day 3 than days 1 and 2. Cavante dropped a touchdown pass from Dak that hit him right in the chest. Outside of that, he had a strong camp. And I saw a pretty sweet Deuce Vaughn highlight in which it looked like he was shot out of a cannon. And Calvin said he looks good catching the ball out of the backfield as well.
And that's one of the things that you're going to want out of the running backs. They want somebody who will catch the ball. Javonte Williams, that's a big reason why he's here. He was somebody who was a good pass catcher out of the backfield. You've got, that's a Deuce Vaughn skill set. Jaden Blue is somebody who people think can run routes out of the slot. Like, he's that type of talent when it comes to running routes and catching the football. And then you've got Miles Sanders, who at different points in his career has been a big-time contributor as a pass catcher. And so, yeah, Deuce Vaughn being able to show some of that is going to be big for him. And when he worked in the slot a little bit last year, like did some practice reps there, that was a Schottenheimer idea at the end of 23, that he was like trying to figure out, all right, how do we keep you here? And how do we start trying to diversify you a little bit? And that was what they wanted him to do. So being able to catch the ball will increase his chances of being able to stick around.
Dak held his media session, and it seems like every big star can give advice contractually to Micah Parsons and how to deal with it. And Dak was asked about that yesterday.
I mean, it's an every year conversation, whether it's myself, Zach Martin, CeeDee Lamb, now Michael Parsons. It's part of it in a sense. Now, is it, it's something that I wish that we, any of us, are going through? Absolutely not. But I think Mike is doing a hell of a job with it being here. He's a great teammate, showing up, obviously, not just on the field and being focused, but whether it be in the camaraderie, hanging out, dinner. He's not just doing it to sign off and say, hey, Jerry, look at me. But he wants to be out there practicing. And honestly, I'm glad he's not. He can't do that to himself. That's the business of it, and that's the business of a holdout. And so I do think he's taken some great steps of being here. I don't know if there's a correct way to handle it, to be honest with you. I will say that I think he deserves to get paid, think he should get paid, and ultimately, if I'm going off of the history of what I've seen, he will get paid. Hopefully, it's sooner than later.
Dude, He sounded
angry.
He sounded exhausted for Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounded, again, this is really reading between the lines, like, yeah, this organization puts all of us through this for some reason. That's what I heard.
That's basically it. And, I mean, look, you know, and Bobby's done a good job with this, like, explaining their philosophy, how, you know, even if, like, at Dak at, you know, $40 million, that contract he was on a couple years ago, right, letting it go all the way to the very end, and even though they signed him for 60, where they could have maybe got him at 53, because they had him at 40, they still see that as a handful of million-dollar net gain over the time. I get that. That makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And I wish they would kind of explain that.
Bingo.
But I think they're giving away some trade secret if they do that.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Yep.
There's that. There's also the idea of, I think if they so publicly stated some of that, it would also impact their negotiations with guys. Like it would have guys like, oh, okay, I understand the way you negotiate. So now that causes me, not necessarily a trade secret thing, but for agents and players, it causes them to now change the way that they go. Okay, I have no reason to show up. Micah would have, if Micah knows that's their strategy, Micah has no reason to show up to training camp. Go, no, I'm a flat holdout now because I know what you're going to do. You're going to, it's dangle the carrot, get me through to the end of the year, tag me. Nope, we're not doing that. I'm not showing up. And I think they feel like it's just one of the cards they have. Now, they'll pay guys before that if the deal looks like it makes sense to them. Or in Micah's instance, it makes sense to do it because that's such a big cap number. It's $24 million. You can lower that with an extension this year. So I think that that's part of it. But, yeah, it's Dak specifically, I think, that little chuckle at the beginning, it's like, all right, slow down, censor yourself a little here.
Has the G-Bag Nation moved to the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Another G-Bag embarrassing interview. We have a loaded show for you today, y'all. A final Billy Currington ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. Worst take at 8 this morning. 8:40, Brian brought us from Cali. And 9 o'clock, the former GM Steve Phillips on the Rangers trade deadline moves. G-Bag on the home of the Buccaneers. Next.